All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Post Malone has just moved up. His stock has risen on my market. There's a story in here out of New Orleans involving the Super Bowl and all the stars that were there in New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
Of course he was there and gallivanting around and being famous.
Post Malone apparently stopped by a bar called the Howlin' Wolf, which is in downtown New Orleans, just outside of the French Quarter. And his server was a young lady by the name of Heather Foster. He left her a $2,000 tip.
So it was a $25 bill.
It was.
He signed the receipt.
Was it only a $25 bill?
It was. $25.70 something, I believe, and dropped a $2,000 tip on it. But there's a hang-up.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now, Sam. It says here, but according to a Facebook post from Foster, when she went to cash out the generous tip, payment processing company Square would only let her keep $200 because, according to the employee, Square claimed the tip was too high. Foster shared a photo of the receipt with the $2,000 tip from Postie, which caught the eye of members of the New Orleans City Council and investigative reporter Cassie Sherm from WDSU. Sherm emailed Square to ask them what was up. The company responded that they were looking into the issue.
Now, that's just kind of a CYA situation from Square's part. You know, they're not trying to stop people from getting massive tips. What they are trying to do is stopping the users, whether that be a waitress or a company selling something,
from adding a zero or
from
something.
Adding a fraudulent tip that they did not intend to give. Because then it falls on Square, because that person's going to say, well, how could you allow them to put in a $2,000 tip? I only wanted to tip $2.
Got it. Travis Kelce is opening up about the retirement rumors or decision that he has to make.
Yeah, we have audio.
Good. Travis Kelce, age 35, discussed the wear and tear that his body has endured throughout his glittering 12-year NFL career and acknowledged that retirement is a possibility.
That is not the audio that we have. I thought that you were going to be talking about a different portion of audio, but...
Well, hang on, and I'll let you set it up. I don't know what audio you have.
Keep going.
He addressed this with his brother Jason on their New Heights podcast. Quoting here, I know everybody wants to know whether I am playing next year, and right now I am just kicking everything down the road. I am kicking every can I can down the road. I am not making any crazy decisions. But right now, the biggest thing is just being there for my teammates and being there for my coaches, understanding there's a lot that goes into this thing. I've been fortunate over the past 5-6 years. I've played more football than anybody. The fact that we keep going to these AFC championships and Super Bowls, that means I'm playing in That means I'm playing an extra three games more than everybody else in the entire league. That is a lot of wear and tear on your body.
Well, and he's reaching the maximum age of a tight end. He's nearing that retirement age. And the one thing that I pulled audio from was the conversation that he had. And obviously, it was a somber tone on the New Heights podcast yesterday, because they're talking about the fact that the Chiefs just got walloped in the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce is facing the potential of retirement. Jason, being a former Eagle, is having to talk to him about the fact that his former team just whooped on him. And Travis, at one point, got choked up.
Just wasn't our day. Couldn't find a lick of momentum. I'm kicking myself for some of the tiny, tiny decisions I made on the field. I wasn't the best leader that I could be in motivating my guys and keeping my guys, you know, calm, cool, collected. And I put a lot of that on myself as, you know, the guy that's been in the building for 12 years and seen a lot of football and actually seen a situation just like this in the Super Bowl. It's a tough pill to swallow. It's a hard reality, man. I love my teammates. I love my coaches, Chiefs Kingdom. I'm sorry for how it ended. I have a beautiful life, man. I have loved ones. I have the most amazing family in the world that supports me in everything that I do. And they were all there, you know, cheering me on and hoping for the best on Sunday, man. I wish things would have went different. I wish I would have made better decisions early on and helped my guy Pat out and helped my team, you know, find that momentum or that confidence. But, you know, I just have to tip my hat to the Eagles.
I know this sucks to talk about. I've been here. There wasn't all negative.
So this part right here, I love the love of the Kelce family. You know, Jason is taking that big brother role here. And it's this next 50 seconds that really solidifies why this family has become so popular, both in and out of football.
For the Chiefs, you broke the most catches in Super Bowl history. I know that you don't probably care that much about it right now because of the way the game went. You have so many records at this point that this is like kind of like just another one. But at the end of the day, it's just another thing that cements you as one of the best players ever to play in the NFL. Past Jerry Rice, Gronkowski, Andre Reed.
That's the last thing that I care about right now.
I know, but you will, and it's dope. Just here to tell you, it's a f***ing dope record, as are all your other records.
Thanks, brother.
The only record I get is that he like kept going on the field. He's out there again.
Look at him go.
How'd he do? No one knows. Just counts as a game played.
A couple of observations, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, when he's rattling off all the people that have supported him and came to watch him at the Super Bowl, there was one name mysteriously missing.
Well, you noticed he kind of caught himself for a second. Right before he said loved ones, there was a bit of a pause. I didn't know if he was thinking I'm going to say Taylor Swift or what, but okay. I did kind of catch that as well. But I just love the fact that Jason, you know, took this opportunity to say, you know, it's not the way that you want to feel right now, and I know that feeling. And he made him laugh. I mean, he literally took Travis from tears to laughter in 45 seconds.
Yeah, and I love the older brother component of their podcast, and I love what Jason said. The other thing that I heard, and I heard this in the post-game comments from Patrick Mahomes as well, is that they're apologizing for letting people down. And I don't know why that rubs me the wrong way. First of all, you don't owe anybody an apology. What a ride this season. I mean, I'm speaking purely as a fan. What a ride. It was fun. You know, just the storyline of maybe getting three in a row and, you know, getting to another Super Bowl third in a row. And I just wish these guys would say, you know what? We did the best we could. We tried. We didn't have it. I love what he said at the beginning. You know, we couldn't get any momentum, et cetera, et cetera. But you don't owe us an apology.
And I agree with you. And, you know, I'll fully admit I was flat out mad Sunday evening. You know, we were at a watch party. We were hanging out with some friends and people were cutting up and laughing. And I was just standing there staring at the TV mad. But I had to remind myself through that anger.
It's just a
game. One, it's just a game. And two, 7 years ago, this was the norm. 7 years ago, we never even would have sniffed the Super Bowl. And now we're here. So, yeah, you're right. He has nothing to apologize
for. None of them do. I mean, you know, and I know some people live almost vicariously through their favorite sports franchises. And, you know that I'm a huge sporting fan. I go to all their games out at Sporting Park. And when it dawns on me, and this has been the norm lately, when it dawns on me they're not going to the playoffs because they just lost one too many games that I sat and watched, I drive home with a tinge of disappointment.
Yeah.
But I go out just to enjoy, you know, people who are much better at a sport than I am, playing at the highest levels, play in front of me.
Well, and, you know, as Coach Reed said and as Patrick Mahomes said, if he wants to come back, they will welcome him with open arms. Now, do you think that there might be something going on with Taylor and Trav? Is that why you
No, I'm not saying that at
admission?
All. No, okay. I'm not suggesting that at all. First of all, I wouldn't know. Second
you're
of all,
not the insider? You don't
no,
have
I'm
him on
not.
Speed dial?
No, I'm not page six of the New York Post. First of all, I wouldn't know. Second of all, it's none of my business.
Yeah.
And third of all, I think it was probably just a little oversight.
I do laugh every once in a while because I did put the sticky note up on the wall in here. When they first started dating, you do remember we made a bet, right?
How long it would last?
Yeah, you and Dana had a bet over under of July 8th of that year. They announced that they were dating late in that season, so it must have been around the Super Bowl run. And you bet $100 on whether or not they would last past July 8th.
Did I take the over or the under?
You owe Dana $100.
Well, let's go ahead and take the sticky note off the wall and put that in the trash. Thank you.
We're recording this conversation.
I am not paying
her
$100.
Going back.
You are high if you think I'm giving her $100.
She's not listening, and I'm not going to remind her.
That's exactly right, Dan.
Text line, Will.
She doesn't read the text line, Dan. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.